Accession number 27193, reel 4.
Company Sergeant Major Conn, reel 4. You were saying that you went past an open space and you saw a...
There was an open space and there was this machine gun post. I then had a phosphorus grenade. And I don't know what... It's got a tape which unwinds as you throw it. And as it comes out, bus. Well, I unwinded the slot rail and then I threw it right into this... And I got right in amongst them. And I heard the screams coming up, and I saw them running, you know. Anyway, I opened fire, and I knocked one bloke down, and the judges went back, picked him up, and cut the scalp across the road. So I knocked that one out. We carried on then, and got right to the centre of Tilly Cecile, right in the corner. And I was looking for any signals coming from the other section. Couldn't see anything. Then all of a sudden, I put my head through a hole in the wall in the centre. And this tank opened up. Lord, I thought he fired that to me. And all the dust flew up. And there was a Tiger tank. Right in front of us. So I turned around there. Have we got a Piat? Nobody had a Piat. Didn't have a Piat. Apparently, the only Piat, they only had two left, apparently, at that time. And the other two sections, take one each. So I was left without a Piat. So I got hold of a corporal. I said, now look, go back. See if we can get across this garden and up to the top. I said, see if we can get me up here and I'll stay here with the section. I stayed with the section. I had one bloke, went a bit bomb happy. So I had to sit on him.
What did he do when he went bomb happy?
Well, he started, you know, shouting and screaming, you know, wanting to get out of it. So I said, try to keep him still. He wouldn't do so. I had to knock him out. And I put him out and I had to knock him out and kept him quiet.
Had he shown any signs of... going bomb happy before?
This chap, no.
Was he generally a reliable soldier?
No, he was a quiet chap. You know, he was a bit nervous. You know, but anyway, this suddenly happened. He just went bomb happy, that's it.
What happened to him later on? Did he?
Well, he went back. He went back to hospital.
He did.
Oh, yeah. Because when I went back, I said, you better get. Told the company commander, old Pat Barris, I said, send him away. I said, he's a liability.
Yeah.
And he did that. He sent him off. Well, I sat in there all night, waiting for this bloke to come back with a Piat. He never did eventually. So the blokes were getting unrestless and that, you know what I mean? So I said, well, we better come out. So there was only seven of us, by the way, in my section at that time. So anyway, I pulled back and came up against D Company. And... I got channels.
Did you go back eastwards, the same way you come in?
No, I came straight. There's what's it called? East is that way.
Yeah.
North.
Yeah.
I came back this way, north.
So you went north.
Uh-huh. And then I came into D Company lines. I was challenged. And I said, you know, I said, the Copewood was so and so, that was yesterday. I don't know what the days is. And oh, we know you, Mick. Come on. And they brought us in. So they went and came in. And. The company commander then was Desmond Brown, and he came over and he said, where have you been? I said, I've been in Tilly Cecile's all night. I said, what did you come out for? I said, because no one was coming in. I said, I couldn't find anybody else from other sections or anything. So he said, well, you'll find that that section went down from north to south. They've all been, they're all casualties. And the same on the other side, they're all casualties. And the sergeant... Sergeant Bill Copley had been wounded. He'd been wounded, and then they put him on a stretcher, and as they take him up, another shell landed and wounded him again and killed the two stretcher bearers. So they evacuated him. And then I was then left with seven blokes. So eventually, after the day got on, Pat Barris came back. You know, he'd been getting one of these armoured tanks for support. And out of the whole platoon, there was 13 of us left. 13. And that's all I had. And then after that, we took Tilly Cecile's. And then we pulled back to Bue Shields.
What weapon were you carrying at that stage? Were you carrying a rifle?
I was carrying a rifle.
Yeah.
I had an unfortunate experience with a Sten gun. I've never used one because I fired that. Didn't happen. Turned it upside down. The rounds just dropped out. The spring had broken inside. It was a very unreliable weapon. I wouldn't use it. I did get one later on, which was a Smyzer. I fired the same caliber gun. And I took a Smyzer. And I held the Smyzer all the way through.
That was the German weapon?
That was the German weapon. Yeah. And my bloke said, they'll shoot you if I find your Sargo, one of them. I said, they've got to find me first, haven't they? I said, no, we'll keep this. And that was it. And I kept that all the way through. Mm. It was a damn good weapon. Mm. Oh, yes. But anyway, we pulled back into Butte Fields and we had a bit of a rest there.
How did you actually take Tilly? How did that happen?
Well, when we took Tilly, then... Yeah.
You said you were down to 13 in the
platoon. That's right.
Yes. And then, was this the day after your adventure when you'd been in the village all night?
Yeah.
Was it later on? Remember when you went in to Tilly and took it?
Yeah. Well, that tank which came up with the Albert tank, it had a go at this Tiger tank and it pulled off.
Ah.
And that was then cleared. Then we went in and we cleared the whole lot then. Mm. Then we were...
How did that go? I mean, did you go in the same way or did you go in a different way?
No, we went straight in.
From the north?
Yes, from the north, straight in like
what,
that.
What's
with D Company.
With
that.
D Company. Yeah. Were you involved in that? Or were
oh,
you
yeah,
involved?
I was with them as well. Oh, yeah, I went in with them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What sort of opposition did you meet?
None.
And the Germans had gone then?
They had pulled out then.
Do you think perhaps that Tiger tank had been a rear guard?
Possibly. It caused a lot of casualties, I know.
Yes.
Had
the casualties in your other two sections been caused by the Tiger, or had they
been there's a lot of being caused by the Tiger with a machine gun.
Oh, I see.
A machine gun, yeah. And, of course, the 88 gun had had. It caused a lot of traffic as well. But as I said, once we'd taken Tilly, and then we were then pulled back to Bushfields, and in the procedure of coming back, there was a battalion of the Durham Light Infantry came down the road to take over from us. Mm. And I always remember there's a bloke called Bill Kant, he was a Geordie, and he'd been in the 2nd Battalion, the Essex Regiment. So I said, how'd you get me? He said, oh, I've got back to my own county regiment, he said. I said, well, I don't know. Because he was an Essex man, originally.
Yeah.
But he joined the DLI again. And that was it. And we pulled back and we're in Bushfields. And that's where we had a bit of a rest. That's where we had George Fermi came.
Oh.
And he...
What did he do for you?
A concert with his wife.
Concert party.
Yeah. He gave me. He signed a one of these French franc notes we had. BAFs, they called them, I think it was, and he signed that for us.
What did you actually do with the time when you were on?
Well, we came back to Bushfields, and that's when we sent us back to Bayeux for a BAF.
Ah.
And it was in Bayeux when we met Montgomery, who came up in his what they call it, Land Rover Jeep or whatever you call it, stood on it there, and he said, any men from the Essex? And maybe I said, I am. And I went forward as a sergeant then, I was a sergeant then. And he gave us these cigarettes. And same with some other regiments that went forward. So he gives us a load of cigarettes to take back.
Do you remember anything he said? Did he make a speech to you, or was he just...
No, he's just... I can't remember much of what he said then, but I always remember because when we got close to him, he said, oh, stand back, and that was it. And he said, you're doing a marvellous job, just carry on, men, you're doing well at it. And that was it. Just said, you're doing a marvellous job.
Where did you have your bath in Bayeux?
Yeah.
Where did you have your bath in Bayeux?
In the baths.
The municipal baths.
Proper what they call it there, yeah. Well, it was great. Ooh, hadn't had me boots off for bloody weeks. It was very refreshing, I can tell you. I really enjoyed it. It was a long time before I had another bath after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see anything of the French population when you were in Bayeux?
Well, you weren't in there long, so it was long to have a bath and that's it, and back, you know, because there was others that had to come in as well, you know, getting his shifts. Mm. So I went back to our place in what do you call it, Blue Seals and that. And then from there, of course, we were then sort of seconded to the 59th Division.
the polar bear division.
No, the 59th Pithead division, the South Staffs. Yes. Not the Staffordshire division. They had the Pithead sign on there, what do you call it? And from there we were moved down to the River Orne to take over from a brigade which consisted of the Norfolks and South Staffs. And we were in a high, it went down, it was right into the valley, and we're at the top end of it. And the commanding officer and all them had a look, but there's not much they could see for the trees and that. But anyway, midnight, we went down this slope, down this road, to the river, to the bridge. And there were dead bodies all over the place then, and at midnight. And the Essex and the Gloucesters, side by side, went across this bridge. And then we went up there. Then we branched off to the right, the Gloucesters went off to the left somewhere. And then we went on and we took this place at Cross Shields. C-R-O-I-X something, I-double-L-E-S. That is where there's a monument today to Major Barris of C Company. Anyway, we took that place and then we got to the high feature. Then we got stonked. I lost three men there. My Corporal Hollis got blown apart. He actually direct hit with a shell. And anyway, we had to go down this slope down to the river at the bottom and up through the woods. Now, I was then told by Pat Barris, and I got another officer, came to us, Cronin his name was. He came from the Middlesex Regiment, but he'd been sort of commissioned into the Essex Regiment, ex-policeman he was. And I took him into action for the first time. And I went through this wood, and there's a track. So I tell them, you're on the left, I'm on the right. Don't step onto that track at any time, otherwise you get shot. And we went through the woods. Then we heard the firing over on our right. Now I stopped and I waited and I started getting contact with the platoon on my right, which was my old 13 platoon. I'd taken over 14 platoon and the other platoon because they didn't have a sergeant. And a sergeant from the Lancashire Fusiliers had taken over my platoon, who was just a reinforcement. We stopped. Then a sniper opened up in front of us. Now this officer got into the road and I told him, get back into the cover, get under cover. Then I had a peat and I could see where the sniper was. You know, there were the stack of logs of wood,
yes,
like that. And he was behind that and I fired this peat.
How far away was he?
Oh, about 100 yards.
All right. And this was this in daylight? Or
what? Oh, yes, it was daylight.
Daylight.
And anyway, I fired this peat. It hit this place, went up like matchsticks. I couldn't find the body.
Ah.
Couldn't find the body. And that's when we heard the firing on our right. And I tried to get in contact with 13 platoon on the wireless, but I couldn't make contact with them. And then all of a sudden things went quiet. Then we saw all these jerrys coming back, smoking, with rifles on their own.
From behind you?
On our right.
On your right.
In front.
From your right rear coming across the front.
Yeah, next to coming to the left on our front. Yeah. And I opened up on them. And we got a few of them, but the rest ran, and off they went. Then we stopped. And then I said, went back to contact 13 platoon. They were all dead.
What had happened to them?
They got ambushed by the SS. And they were caught out in the open. And Captain Shell, who at that time was second in command of C Company, and he was with battalion headquarters at the first, and there's no need for him. But anyway, he volunteered for action, and he was killed.
With the platoon?
With his platoon, and they were all there laid out, and I said, God, God. I'd had them men from D-Day onwards, you know, and I was really mad. I said, where's the sergeant? And he said, well, he went back down the track, run back down the track. He said, broke his ankle on a root tree or something, and down he went, and off he took him off. And they were getting hold of him, and I killed him. Because I used to insist, whenever they stop, dig in, take up positions. But been as a new bloke, first time in action, he missed it out, and his platoon got killed. And that was it. Mm. And then I really then had to get the release organised again, which Pad Palace did, and had my old 13 platoon back again. I was still 13 platoon.
When you attacked Crocs Hills, was there strong resistance in Crocs Hills in the village?
Well, there was quite a bit, yeah. And I got on the back of a Churchill tank with my platoon. And as we went in, I saw these jerrys in this farmyard, in this farm building. So I jumped off the back, and this is when I had the Sten gun. And I stepped round from behind this wall, and I fired, but nothing happened. But these jerrys put their hands up. So I got 8 prisoners. As I said, I took the magazine spring was broken. And that's when I took one of their Smeisers and kept it.
Were these Germans in the farmyard, were they ordinary Wehrmacht or were they SS?
No, they were ordinary Wehrmacht. Yeah.
You mentioned you got on the back of a Churchill. Had you cooperated with Churchill tanks before, or was this the first time?
No, it was the first time I'd been on with him, yeah.
Do you happen to remember what unit they were from?
I can't remember, actually, no. No, I can't remember what unit we were in. But
did they give you fire support or?
Oh yes, You had the pawn on the back, you know.
Oh, I see. So you'd ride on the back. What point would you get off the tank normally if you were going into action riding on the back of it?
Well, I was riding on the back, and when it stopped,
yeah,
you know, then we jumped off, and then they gave us support and fire as we went in, and. And that was it, and we took 8 prisoners, and then from there, as I said, we took Crocs Hills, and...
Did you have to clear the houses one by one?
No, we didn't have much trouble at all.
Not much trouble in the village?
No. We cleared that, and I believe it was in there, it came up when battalion headquarters moved up there as well, and had the first aid post and everything in there as well. And this would be before we made the attack on the wood at Thurry Harcourt.
And it was the woods where you got into trouble then?
Oh yes. And that's where they had to manhandle a 6-pounder gun. And down the bottom, and the jeep, they had to put it in reverse, and it was sliding down, it got to the stream at the bottom. But the job was to get it up again. I couldn't get up there. And, you know what I mean, I had little Titch Holden, he was he was in with a 6-pound, you know, anti-tank, what do you call it? And he looked back and he said, how the hell have we ever got that up there? I don't know, he said. But we did. And that was
how many men did it take to actually get it up?
There was about a dozen of them.
Yeah.
Well, a dozen of them. They're hanging on to this.
You have ropes or anything like that to help? Or?
Well, they tried to do everything. You had ropes on it, what you got off from the jeeps or things like that. And they were pulling and shoving. Yeah. And eventually got one up. But, God, it was a job. And then, because at that time, as I said, the Glossers went in through the centre of Thurry Harcourt, and we had to go through the woods, and we used to catch the jerrys as they're coming back through there. You know,
so you were a stop, effectively.
That's it. And then we went on to a place called Essen, a little village called Essen. And that's where we went in there, and one of our trucks got blown up by a mine, and little Titch Holden, he got wounded and went back, never saw him again.
You were saying earlier on, you caught some Germans who were moving back through the wood, smoking with their rifles slung and so forth. What kind of German troops were they?
They were SS.
They were SS?
Yeah, and
they were
SS.
Sounds like they were rather relaxed and casual.
Oh, yeah, they were. Arrogant lot, they were. Yeah. I said that. Yeah, anyway, we fired on them. We killed a couple of them anyway. Yeah.
What happened to the rest? Did they just...
They were on.
Into the...
Well, they went off like your clappers, yeah.
Yeah.
But, that was some of the things I wish should never have happened. It should never. If they'd been wide awake, you know, when they were attacked. And if he'd had his platoon in you know, in order, the way he defensive, the way I'd generally get them, he'd have been able to get all of them.
Yeah.
You know.
When you were deployed out to catch the Germans as they were being pushed by the Gloucesters, did you get hold of them? Did they come through your?
Well, they just come up the road. We caught a lot of them. Yes. Yeah. You know, I took a lot of prisoners. Yeah. And I had some casualties. And then, as I said, we went into this village of Essen.
Yeah.
And that's from there. We went farther ahead, and we went to a very high point. And on the top of this point was a chapel, old type chapel, and had those ordinary wood seats and that.
Pews.
And
yes,
from the top of that point, you could look down on the River Orne, right away down. It must have had a marvellous view, because anything moving, they could be able to see it. So that's why the other division, the 59th, took such a pounding. God. But anyway, we moved over at midnight, so they couldn't see it in the dark. We were lucky to get through there. But the battalion did well.
Why was it so difficult? You said it was lucky to get through there. Was the German opposition very strong?
Oh, yes. Mm. Oh, yeah. Very strong. Mm. Oh, yeah. They were. We got, as we went into the wood as well, we were stonked by the jellies and our own artillery as well. And I'll tell you what, you talk about being under artillery fire. Our artillery fire was worse than theirs. God, they were coming over like machine guns. Very good. They're not 25 pounders. They were really, really good. Had some good artillery people there.
Did you see the Ford Artillery Observer? Pardon? Was he up with you on that occasion?
Who was that?
The Ford Artillery
Observer. Oh, yes, the Johnny Ford with us, yeah. They were good fellas there, very good then, yeah.
Did you normally have the same battery supporting the battalion?
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to tell you that, you know. We did have good support from the artillery, I know that, but whether the same battery all the time, I don't know.
But on this occasion, they were
good.
They're obviously falling short then.
Pardon?
You said they were on you. So.
Oh, yeah, well, they brought the artillery over, you know, and they were on, I think it might have been our own fault, we'd advanced so far in front.
So it wasn't them falling short, it was you going too far ahead.
That's good, farther ahead.
Yeah.
And I always remember we were mixed up with A Company and all sorts, and because it was the 88 coming over and our own artillery coming over. Oh, God, I said, this is it. But anyway, we survived it. That was it.
How did you cross the Orne? Did you go on a bridge? Or
no, we walked across the bridge. Yeah. That was when the Gloucesters and the Essex went across the bridge.
Right.
On the midnight it was, you crossed it side by side. And then we sort of deployed off. And then that was from there. Now, after we'd taken Tully Harcourt, or the brigade had taken Tully Harcourt, we then moved down towards Falaise,
yeah.
And we stopped at a place called Trepel, Trepel. And the battalion headquarters was in a chateau. And it was the chateau of Madame du Barry, who was Madame Pompadour. And I thought, well, what a coincidence. The Pompadours, in Madame Pompadour's chateau. And it was there that we were stopped. And what had happened, that the Canadians were on one side, the Americans on the other, and Monty stopped us, and he said, no way, stay where you are. And then the 59th Division was then disbanded. And then we were then joined the 49th West Riding Infantry Division on I think it was about the 18th of August, I believe, in 1944. And then we were in a place called Pedoux, where all the mosquitoes are. God, they'll eat us alive, they did. That's when we sort of joined the Canadian Army then as well, the 49th Division. And from there we went through towards Lisieux, then we went to a place called Cormeilles. Mm-hmm. Then from Cormeilles we went into Pont-Audemer, and that was where we had to cross the Orne there.
Did you see much of the enemy during this later phase of the advance? Were they still resisting strongly, or were you moving
Oh, yeah, they were resistant. Oh, yeah. We came across them quite often. Cormeals, when we went into Cormeals, the French people were coming out and giving us wine, and the Germans were still in the village. And I don't know. And then we went from there, after we'd taken Cormeals, and we bashed on straight away down the road to Pont-Audemer. Now, I always remember going through Pont-Audemer, and I always remember this. Going down through the town, there was this shop, and it had the Barter Shoe Shop. And I always remember, I said, a Barter Shoe Shop, fancy seeing a place like that out here. And then from there, we went to the river, where we had to try and cross the river, the high escarpment in front of us. And in daylight, this was trying to get across the river, because we got fired on there, you know. We're right out in the open. Yeah.
Was this an assault crossing?
That's right, yeah. And unfortunately, that was no good at all. And I think this is where the CO learned a lesson, you know, about travel.
What actually happened on that occasion?
Well, when we tried to cross over, they got fired on, and I opened up with a piet on the opposite side there. And then we had to pull back. And then later on, we eventually did get over. Yeah. And then we got up into the woods, and the Fort of Breton, we had to go through there. And I always remember going through the woods. We got tried on, what do you call it, we lost a couple of fellas there, I know that. And then we went on, and we came to a farmhouse in the clearing, and we saw these Germans coming towards this farmhouse. And as they came up, then we opened fire on them.
How close did you get?
150 yards away they were. Yeah. And we opened fire on them, and we got a few of them, and the others carpeted out. And just then, seven blokes came running out of the, what they call it, RAF. He said, they were coming for us. He said, you saved us, he said. Mm. And one bloke turned around, and he said, you're Harry Conn, aren't you? I said, yeah, how do you know? He said, I used to watch you boxing in Barters. He said, I worked at Barters as well. He came from Stamford Lee Hope. So I said, right, I wrote a little note on a piece of paper. I said, when you go back, give this to the old girl, will you? And he did. And he only lived in Stamford Lee Hope, my people living in Grays. But I never met him again. That was a funny thing about it. Never got hold of him. I don't know what happened.
When you were moving at this time, are you still moving on foot, or were you moving in transport?
Where's that?
When you were moving down towards Pont-Audemer.
Pont-Audemer, we went down by transport so far.
Right.
And then debussed and went in.
Who provided the transport?
Oh, the battalion. Yeah. You know, the brigade and everything, you know. Mm. They had these transport. Mm. 3 tonners and that. Oh. Oh, yeah. Because we had our own transport, of course, you know what I mean. But the RSC were the ones that did.
They would turn up.
Yeah, were the ones that came, yeah. Mm. But, as I said, we went into this wood, and of course, we engaged a few of the Germans, but there's a lot of horses running around. Some of them had been wounded and that. Some of the officers got hold of the horses and used them. Horse-drawn transport is what the Germans had used at that time. That's all they had, you know. But then we got right way down to the River Seine, and we crossed that on rafts.
Rafts?
Yeah. And there was... I believe that at that time... Mm. There was a tidal wave came down the river, and about 40 South Wales boarders were swept away to death. Yeah, because they were in full kit, they wouldn't stand a chance.
Were these rafts? Had you built those rafts?
No, the engineers.
The engineers. Yeah, yeah. Were they operating them?
Yes.
How were they actually propelled?
Well, outboard motors.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, outboard motors.
How many men could you get on one of these?
Oh, about 40.
All right. Were they
very closely packed.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, were they wooden rafts or metal or
what? No, just ordinary wooden rafts, yeah. And anyway, we got across there, all right. The transport couldn't get across there. They had to go all the way up to Rouen and come all the way back there.
Round,
again,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we crossed across there and then to Quarterbeck, up to Bolbeck. And that is when the battle for Le Havre
began.
Began, yeah. Estonia. We went across. I remember going across there on these kangaroos. We went across. We opened and knocked out pillboxes as we were going over. And
How did you knock the pillboxes out?
Pardon?
How did you knock the pillboxes out?
Well, they had the, what they call the Fangalore torpedoes. We used them, and grenades and everything. Mm. You know, just went in there, fired them.
Had you used Bangalore torpedoes before?
No.
So something new.